word any day of the week, won't you? I'll just take God's word. His word never will fail. Psalms 81 says this. And I'm going to try to be brief and try to slow down. I want to read a lot of scriptures today, and I want to show you something that's important in the scriptures. How the Lord uses me to get that out, I pray that He can use me this morning to get His thought out here. Here, verse number 8, Psalms 81:8 says, "Hear, O my people." Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, when you're reading the Bible, if you are a child of God, when you hear that phrase, "Hear, O my people," your ears ought to perk up. Because He's not just talking to the nation of Israel. If you're a child of God, you are His people. And God Himself said, "Hear, oh my." He said, "I got something to tell y'all. I want you to hear it." Now, if you're not a child of God, your ears ought to perk up and say, "Boy, I wish that was me. I wish God was talking to me right here." And He can be talking to you. But He said, "Hear, oh my people, and I will testify unto thee." The Lord's going to testify. "Oh Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God." Now we could stop right there, couldn't we? I mean, couldn't we just deal with that? I do love football. I do love boxing. I do love baseball. I like to watch sports. I like to watch NASCAR. I like to watch the last three races. I've never been so bored to sit and watch 500 laps go around and around in a circle. I've never been that bored in my life. I like to watch the final two or three laps and hopefully somebody wrecks and destroys a $100,000 car and they end up in life flighting them to the hospital. I like all that. I like the boxing part. You know, a lot of people go to racing for the race. I go to racing for the wrecks. I just like the wrecks. That's more action to me. But then he said, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land, of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide." And God said, "And I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up to their own hearts, lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." That's that wisdom, isn't it? I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto Him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. Verse number 13, look at it one more time. "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." Verse number 13 is the cry, ladies and gentlemen. Now listen, this is the whole gist of the little thought that I have today. Verse 13 is the cry of God's heart. That's why I don't even like getting pizza. I can't stand that junk. It's the cry. Verse number 13 is the cry of God's heart. This, I believe, is still true today. Still true. What is the cry of God's heart? What is verse 13? God said, "I wish you'd have listened to me." That's all. God's heart is crying out to a people, and he's looking at them in all this turmoil and all this trouble, and God's heart breaks over this people that He loves. God's heart is moved with compassion, and His heart begins to cry out, and this is what it says: "I wish you'd have hearkened unto me. I wish you'd have just paid attention to what I said. I wish you'd have listened to me." Verse number 13, it says, "Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways." God can see every bit of the trouble. God can see every bit of the heartaches. God can see all the loss in our lives. And He says, if they had just hearkened to me, if they would have just walked in my ways, if they would have just done what I said do, everything would have been all right. Verses 14 through 16 says, I should soon, look at what verse 13 says. I want to try to slow down and let you see this for yourself. Verse 13 says, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me and Israel had walked in my ways. Why? Do you see the exclamation point after that? The sentence ends with an exclamation. God put an emphasis on this statement. Why did God say this? Why did God emphasize this? Look at verse number 14. This is why. He said, I should have soon subdued their enemies. God said, if you'd listen to me, I'd have subdued your enemies. He looked at them people out there and they was encamped with problems. Their enemies was overcoming them. God said, if you'd have just listened to me, listen, I would have had your enemies in subjection to you. Isn't that amazing? God can see all the troubles, all the heartaches. He can see the loss in our lives. And he says this, if you'd have just listened to me, they wouldn't have been none of that trouble. I could have overcome every bit of that for you. I could have made the rough places, I could have made them smooth. That's right. God could have done that. What if they had? God said, I should have sued thy enemies. Look, what's this? Then he said, not just subdued your enemies. He said, I turned my hand against their adversaries. God would have stood for you. Verse number 15, the Bible says, the haters of the Lord. Who are the haters of the Lord? I mean, but it's easy to see people like Adolf Hitler's a hater of the Lord. You say, man, how would Adolf Hitler? Well, because Adolf Hitler was following the works of Satan trying to destroy the Jews. He got on board with the devil trying to, and the devil absolutely influenced the leaders of the country and they influenced Hitler and if they could just abolish the Jews, they could have abolished the Word of God. If they could have hindered one promise that God promised them Jewish people, they could have hindered the Word of God. In our text, we can see verse 15 says, the haters of the Lord, which God said, they would have submitted themselves unto Him. God said, this would have happened if you would have listened to me. The enemies would submit to me. Hey, it's like them Syrians just talking about a while ago. If God's people would get where they are to get, I'm telling you, these people that hate God, the enemies of God, even they would submit unto God. That's what His Bible's saying. He said, look at it for yourselves. But their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them. Look at that. God said, I would have fed you with the finest of wheat. I'd have took care of you. If you'd have just listened to me, I'd have met your every need. All these problems, all these turmoils, all these enemies, all these famines in you, I'd have took care of you if you'd have just listened to me. And with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee. He said, I'd have satisfied the longing of your soul if you'd have listened to me. I'm going to tell you what, boy. You can see in our text, God's talking about the nation of Israel. But as you read the Bible, I can't help and you shouldn't be able to help but notice how the nation of Israel parallels with the church. How the nation of Israel seems like, and I'm not real big on types and shadows. We've worked that to death to where we've watered down so much junk it don't have any kind of power anymore. But I'm telling you that nation of Israel is a type or a picture in the Old Testament of the New Testament church. And what are you saying, Dave? I'm saying that God is looking at the New Testament believers and that He's going to the New Testament believer. He's looking at the church going, if my people, if you just listen to me, if you just listen to me, everything's going to be all right. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? I said it last week. I'll say it again. You can tell CNN to suck an egg and drop dead. You can tell Sean Hannity he's dead wrong. You can tell the Rush Limbaugh, every one of them, to choke on that money he's making off these bleeding heart liberals. They're feasting, living high on the hog because we got wicked rulers and they're enjoying every bit of it because they got an audience that loves to hear bash a bunch of conservatives, a bunch of liberals. And I'm telling you, God said you need to turn that off and hearken unto me. Hey, listen, folks, we got more news media, we got better coverage. We even got high definition televisions. You can see the pimples in their skin. But I'm telling you, bud, this world's getting worse than she's ever been. But God's still on the throne. And God said, if you'll listen to me, I'll take care of everything in your life. I'll take care of you. Pretty good, ain't it? That's the heart of God, friend. We're looking inside the heart of God this morning. He said, if you just hearken unto me, I'd take your enemies and make them submit to me. That's pretty good, ain't it? God wants to bless you this morning. That's what I'm talking about, the heart of God. You don't get to hear me preach stuff like this a whole lot, I don't guess, but God wants to bless you this morning. God wants to bless His people today. That's right. God's heart, the heartbeat of God, is to smile on His children. Do you hear me? I'm saying the heartbeat of God is to have fellowship with His children. The heartbeat of God is that you walk in holiness unto Him so that He can have fellowship with you. Do you understand what broke fellowship in the Garden of Eden? I'm telling you, the finest home that God ever let live. I'm talking about a home that was in a perfect environment. I'm telling you, the very one thing that broke fellowship with God is the very thing that God ain't smiling on today. He still ain't sweeping under the rug. He still ain't made no compromises. But friend, I'm telling you, sin is destroying fellowship between God and His people. People choosing sin over God. God said, I'll tell you what, you can have it, but I'm out of here. It's exactly what He did over there in the Garden of Eden. I'm telling you, bud, He let them have their sin. I think of the blessings and the goodness of God that He wants to bestow on us. Are you listening? I said, I think of the goodness and the blessings. God has blessings stockpiled, I believe. I believe He has goodness just lined up on top of goodness. And I believe that God wants to open the windows of heaven. And I believe God wants to bless His children. But by the time God goes to bless a youngin' of His, by the time He opens up one of heaven's windows, all He can see is a bunch of rebellion and sin in their life. And God said, you're limiting me. I can't even bless you because the sin that's in your life. I say when we walk in our own ways, are you listening? Boy, that's a catch right there. When we walk in our own ways, when we walk in our own counsel, we have our own little theologies. We have our own doctrine. We have our own ideas. We have our own little theories about what God is, what salvation is, about this Christian life. But I tell you what God said is what matters. What you and I say doesn't amount to a whole lot, and it won't in eternity, ladies and gentlemen. But we better take heed to what the Lord says. I say we better walk in the ways of God. Do you hear me? When you walk in your ways, well, I'm going to do this. Well, I'm going to do that. This is what I think. That is what I think. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. Do you hear me? When you do that, friend, God withdraws Himself. He withdraws His blessings from you. He withdraws His smile from your life. And He said, you go ahead. You walk in your own counsel. You walk in your own ways. But you're going to walk it alone. You're not going to walk it with my blessings on you. Bible teaches us that God chastens His own children. Is that not so? God chastens His children. He doesn't do this for pleasure. God don't want to beat children. God don't want to have to exercise His wrath and judgment and chastisement on His children. God takes no pleasure in that. He doesn't do it for pleasure, but rather that we might be partakers of His holiness. You hear me? I said, anything less than holiness, God don't accept. That's why He said, be holy, for I am holy. That's why He said, without holiness, no man's going to see God. I'll tell you why God does this. I'll tell you why the judgment of God falls. I'll tell you why the chastening of the hand of God Almighty falls. That you and I might be partakers of the holiness of God. That He might bless us. That He might smile on us. That He might fellowship with you and I. Don't seem very important, but I tell you, there'll come a time in your life where the fellowship with the Father will mean more to you than all this world. Sure. It's not God's desire to have to judge you and I. It's not His desire to chasten us. Because God's heart is set on saving sinners and God's heart is set on blessing the saints. That's what He wants. God wants to bless you today. God wants to save your lost loved ones. God wants to redeem those that are lost and undone. Then He wants to take those that's born again and smile on them and bless them with His presence and bless them with His goodness. That's what God wants. That's His very heart today. God said, if my people would just hearken unto me, if you'd just listen to me, if you'd just listen to me, I'm telling you, everything would be all right. I'll take care of you. I pick a lot. I pick a lot about whipping my granddaughter. I talk a lot about it and couldn't whip her if I had to. But, you know, in my heart, Zach, I've never had a, Steve, I've never had a desire, never, to whip my granddaughter. Oh, there's been a few times I looked over and said, they need to beat the devil out of her, but not me. I had no desire. I'll be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, I've raised three boys. I never one time in my life had a desire to come home and just beat the devil out of my children, never. I never had a desire to take them in that bedroom and give them the what for. I never did that. Oh, God help us. I can promise you unto God, and I wasn't a good daddy, and I'm not a good man, but I can promise you unto God, when I had to move in the chastening hand upon my children, I would go in that bedroom and weep before a holy God and beg God to show me how to be a daddy. Now, I know some people's got all the answers, but I didn't know. So I'd have to go in there and weep and pour my heart out before God. I'd go in there and deal with my children and sit down and explain to my children, son, this is what you've done wrong. Dad, I'm sorry. I know you might be sorry, son. So was David. David was sorry, but God still had to judge him and God still had to deal with his sin. And that's what I'm going to have to do here today. And we would deal with that sin, that transgression. I'd go off in another room and weep and cry and beg God for mercy and beg God for help. And we'd come back. And we'd have a prayer meeting. We would dismiss and go out and be friends from that time. Walking in fellowship. You know what I noticed, Steve? Every time I ever dealt with my children in that manner, it seemed like Miss Stephanie, when it was all said and done, I'd catch my boys coming up next to me. I mean, we were the best of friends. You say, what are you talking about? If I'm this wicked, and I'm this wretched and vile, and I can love my children in that way, and they draw themselves to me, how much more can God, when He takes us behind the woodshed and begins to draw us up and restore the fellowship between Him and His child once again? I noticed my children drawing up to me, and it made them love me, and it made them come unto me. And that's what God does. He'll move that chastening hand upon us that we might come back into the fellowship, and that there'll be nothing between me and Him, that the slate and the record will be clean, and we can walk in fellowship, and I can enjoy the blessings of my Father on my life. My kids out doing wrong, I never could bless them. I find it even hard to carry on a conversation with them if they was doing something stupid. Because it vexed my soul and it grieved me. And I had to ask the Lord, Lord, how do we deal with this and what do we do? And God, how do we take care of this? And thank God for the precious word of God that leads and guides you in every aspect of your life, even child training. Amen. It's what the Bible said, train up a child. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. Oh, thank God for the promises of God's holy book. So, well, I've got some that's departed and they died departed. I got some sad, sad news. They wasn't trained in the way that they should go. God ain't no lie. God ain't no lie. If them youngins go astray and they don't never come back, it ain't God's fault. Tell you what you better do. You better quit thinking so much of yourself and start examining yourself and see where you failed with a holy God and get that right so that you can be in fellowship with Him. I can't deal with my children and God. They have to take care of that themselves. Well, I just say, boy, I tell you, God don't look forward to beating his youngins. Whatever how you want to say it, chasing his children. God don't want to have to move in that kind of direction, but God wants to move and smile and bless. And the Bible said, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. I tell you, I believe God wants to smooch. I believe God wants to enjoy worship. I believe God wants to enjoy fellowship. I believe God wants to enjoy walking through the garden in the cool of the day. You hear me? I believe God wants to have some youngins that appraise him and worship him and honor him and live for him and serve him and tell others about him. I believe that's what God's looking for. I tell you, boy, when God finds that, you talking about opening up some windows, listen to me. I ain't never had a whole lot, but I've had the blessings of God opened up in my life. I wouldn't take all the money in the world for the blessings of God. You hear me? I'm telling you, when you know the curtains is pulled back and the God of all creation is looking down on you and he smiles on your life, maybe you can just feel he put his arms around you. Son, I wouldn't trade that for all the money in this world. You hear me? I was heading down out of Mississippi. I was leaving my home, Miss Gloria. And I said, God, why do I have to leave my family? Why do I have to go to this hellhole? Why am I going 12 miles down the road for a people that just want to fuss and fight? Go out to the booby bars every Saturday night. Want to fight the preacher, couldn't care less about God. Why do I have to go? Leave my family in North Carolina. Steve, I'll never forget it. I will not tell you what God said to me, but God spoke to me that day. But Zach, we was riding in Brother Pat's old van. Remember, he gave us his van that year for Christmas as a Christmas gift. He gave us that big old conversion van to drive to North Carolina. We drove that thing, son. I'm telling you, God sat down between me and that seat beside us. He sat in the middle. And God put his arms around me that day going down the highway. And the Lord told me why I was in Mississippi. I said, thank God, let's go to, you hear me? I wouldn't have traded North Carolina for Mississippi. I wouldn't have traded all the states in the world. Son, I had one purpose and one desire in my heart. When God put his arm around me, I was going to go to Mississippi or I was going to bust. Hey man, I wouldn't trade it. Wouldn't trade it. So what are you talking about? I'm talking about the blessings of God. I'm talking about when God smiles on you. Hey man, you don't have to have a big choir. You don't have to have a fancy quartet. You don't have to have a bunch of women shaking their hind end or a bunch of men flipping their stinking old pansy hips. You don't have to have that. You can ride down the road and be plugged in with God, and God will step into your automobile, and you can ride down the road and enjoy the presence of God while Jesus is sitting there kissing on you, and you can open your mouth and say, surely his love is better than wine. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, God's good to us, friend. And he said, if you'd just hearken unto me, I'll make everything all right. If you'll hearken unto me, I'll put food in your mouth. If you'll hearken unto me, I'll clothe you. If you'll hearken unto me, I'll take care of your enemies. If you'll hearken unto me, I'm going to make the wrongs, I'm going to make them all right, friend, in your life. God said, I'll do that for you. That's his desire. That's the heart of God. He ain't a mean God. Amen. Thank God. If he was a mean God on top of your mean preacher, boy, you'd have a mean life. Wouldn't it be bad? But he's God enough to balance all that out for me. Let's go real quick to Deuteronomy chapter number 5. We want to try to look at some of this. I've already slowed down way more than I want to. I didn't mean to get so bogged down, but we'll just follow God. Deuteronomy chapter number 5. Chapter 5, verse 27. Deuteronomy 5:27, we'll read down to verse 29. Listen at what God said. Go thou near and hear all that the Lord our God shall say. And speak thou unto us all that the Lord our God shall speak unto thee. They told Moses, we want you to go hear God. And then come back and tell us what God said. And we will hear it. Hey Moses, we won't just listen to it.
But we're going to do it. They said, we'll hear it and do it.
That's pretty good, ain't it? Be doers of the word, not hearers only.
And the Lord heard the voice of their words. And the Lord heard the voice. The Lord heard them when they talked to Moses. When ye spake unto me, and the Lord said unto me, I have heard, listen, the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. What's this? Talking about the heart of God. All that there were such a heart in them. They saying it with their mouth. God said they're doing a good job with their mouth. But God said, I wish that that heart was in them. I wish that that listening heart was there. He said that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Hey, listen, one more time. Look at the end of that, forever. You see what's at the very end of forever? God, all through the heart of God, if you'll chase down this little thought that I'm giving you today, if you'll chase down the heart desire of God after every verse that you see in God's heart's desire, you'll see an exclamation point. God's emphasizing this thing. And man, this passage right here, God said, listen, don't just say this stuff with your mouth. Don't just say you love God with your mouth. Don't just say, boy, we want to hear from God. Listen, do it with your heart. God's looking in the heart. Right. God's searching that old heart out. Amen. I think many times we dress this outward up. We do. We make it look good, make everything look all right. Man, we can have all kind of troubles and problems and come to church and look like we got the world by the tail. I mean, we can just fix it up. But underneath the surface, at the core, at the very heart of our being, God can look down in that heart and God can see the rebellion. God can see the unbelief. God can see the hate. God can see the disdain that's in our heart. God hears what we say with our mouth. But I'll tell you what carries the weight, what he's seeing down in our heart. That's right. It's God. It's God that searcheth the heart, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, you can't follow your heart. Your heart will tell you so many pretty things. Let me tell you what the Bible says one more time, can I? That your heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things. You hear that? Your heart's more deceitful than the devil itself. Your heart will tell you lies. Your heart will pump you up. Your heart will tell you how well you are. But I'm telling you, God said that it's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. God's the one that searches that heart. We can't follow our heart. You got to follow the word of God. Does he see a heart of obedience? Does God see a heart of submission? Or does he see rebellion? Does God see selfish ways? You know how many times God's looked at me and saw selfishness in my life? You see that old man hanging up back there on that wall? I'm going to tell you why he's hanging up on that wall. Because God put that old man into my life. And that old man had a message, and his message was self. Do you hear me? Son, if there was one thing that old man of God could plow down the road, it was self. He could expose yourself and show you what a wretch. I'm telling you, thank God God used him to preach self to me. You know why, Jacob? You know why he's so important? Because I've had so many selfish ways in my life. Been to eat up with my stinking self. I've been so full of myself. I've been so full of myself. I'm going to do it this way. I'm going to do it that way. I'm a good person. I pay my bills. I love my wife, and I do love my wife. Thank God she got up this morning before the sun did, come down to the church, turned the heat on, went over there and crunk the heat on over there just so you could come in this place this morning. I mean, before the sun come up, got up with that heart, come down here to try to take care of the people of God. You say, man, well, I'm talking about I love, thank God, for my wife. God's been good to me, friend. He's put people into my life that's helped me. John David, there's been times, son, where my wife's done things I wouldn't give it the second thought, son. You say, why? Because I was too selfish. Right. It's hard to be a mother, a good mother today, ladies and gentlemen, and be selfish. A good parent's going to be kind of unselfish. Always looking to the needs of others. I'm telling you, bud, I wonder sometimes when God looks in our heart, what does he see?
I know what it hears coming out of our mouth, but I wonder, does he see our old selfish ways? Old set in our ways. God help me not to ever get set in my ways. Let me to get set in his ways. You hear? I want to be set. Listen, I failed church. I'm telling you, but I want to be set in the ways of God. That's right. And we can be. We can be. We'll just walk in obedience. These passages, the same thing keeps coming to my mind all through these scriptures that I looked at. God wants us to walk in his ways. God wants us to listen to him. God wants us to be obedient. Why? So that everything may be well with you. And not just you. Look at what else God said. They're children. God don't want to just bless his children. He wants to bless his children and his children's children. He wants to bless your children. He wants you to walk in step with him. He wants you and I to walk in obedience to him. He wants you and I to walk in fellowship with him so that he can look over at your children and smile on them too. You know how many, you know what I'm talking about? You know how many people's sins is passed down from one generation to the next? Sure. I'm telling you, generational sins, buddy, where daddy's screwed up, daddy's been stupid, and God's let that sin just pass on from one generation. You say, what is that? I'm telling you, God's took the smile off of that family. When that daddy could get in line, when that daddy ought to be where he ought to be, and living for God, submitting to sin. Well, we always worried about this submission. Who ought to submit to who? Hey, listen, dads, we ought to submit to God. We ought to submit to God. I'm telling you, no man deserves a woman to submit if he will not first submit to God. Amen. He ought to submit to God. Chain of command. I don't expect a whole lot out of my wife. I hope you understand this, if I'm not where I ought to be with God. That's right. It's just the way God's got this thing set up at divine order. And then the children line up with, when mom and dad, when he's in touch with God and she's in touch with him, they're in fellowship with each other. Then the children come up underneath them. And man, God's just got his old windows open and he's smiling on the whole entire family. He wants to bless you and your children. He wants to bless you. That's the heart of God. We just don't have a mean, hateful God. Ain't you glad of that? Whoa, glory to God. God's not mad all the time. He's not ready. He's not ready to give you a pop knot. What do you think about it? You gonna bear witness with him? She got her mouth open. Listen, instead, God's a caring father and he wants to bless and provide and smile on you and I. He wants to satisfy you with good things. Ain't that what the Bible says? He wants to satisfy us with good things. Yeah. Zach, you said something in Sunday school made me think about it. Those that delight themselves in the Lord, he'll give you the desires of your heart. And I like to look at that like the desires that I have in my heart, God gave me them. I know people say, well, if I delight in the Lord, he'll give me a car because I desire a car. Listen, the desires that's in my heart now ain't new cars. It ain't fancier clothes. It ain't bigger houses. The desires that's in my heart now, Steve, because of him, is to walk closer to him. It's to live in fellowship with him. Listen, friend, ain't nobody cuts up and has any bigger time than what we do. But I tell you, when it comes to serving God, we serious about that. Amen. We believe in cutting up, laughing, joking, having a big time. We're not dry Christians. We're not bored Christians. We're not drags. Man, we cut up, we aggravate, we make people mad. Hey, we make people happy. We make people say, say amen, daughter-in-law. We aggravate, friend. I cut into their money. I pick at them. Got them as that chewed me out last Sunday after church. Yeah, man. And then I said, are you going to be mad if I tell you I'm lying? He said, yes. Well, I'm lying. They deserved it. Well, smiling. Well, I don't know how I got on. I'm just saying God's not an angry God. He's not walking around waiting to beat somebody. You've heard all that. He's wanting to provide for me and you. He wants to bless you. He wants to bless your family. Don't get me wrong, but God is not a pushover. He's not. If he has to, ladies and gentlemen, he will exercise his judgment. He will. And I've seen him do it. I've seen him do it in my life. It's not pretty. Here's what I see in the Bible. Here's what I see about the heart of God. Are you listening? It breaks God's heart when we are not in fellowship with him because he cannot bless us in a wicked state. If you'll read that Psalms 81, you'll see that God's heart is broke. He's broke. And he's broke because his people didn't listen to him. His people ain't walking in fellowship with him. They're walking in their own ways. And the reason it breaks is because God wants to bless and he can't. And he's looking at them going, I wish you to just listen to me. Oh, I just wish you to listen to me. I would have fed you the finest food that you could have ate if you'd have just listened to me. If you'd have just walked in my ways. Look real quick. We'll quit in just a minute. We'll cut her off and do what we got to do. Look with me real quick, please, in Isaiah 48. Look at verse number 16. We'll read down to verse 22. God said, come ye near unto me and hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit have sent me. Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hast hearkened unto my commandments. You see what's in there? Exclamation point. Then had thy peace been, if you'd have listened to me, boy, your peace would have been like a river. Hey, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you can have a lot of things in this world. Money can buy you a lot. Money can buy you some fine automobiles. And I mean, there's some fine ones out there, buddy. I mean, son, there's some Chevy trucks out there, four-wheel drive, blacked out rims. I mean, jacked up, beautiful, beautiful vehicle. There's some fine houses out there. Man, Jacob was showing me some pictures on the internet. I mean, some fine pictures out there, fine houses out there. Nice clothes. And you can have every bit of that. Disobey the voice of God and have zero peace. I will take peace over the fancy house. I'll take peace over the money. I'll take peace over the cars. You hear me? I don't want to drive a fancy car and be miserable as nine hells. I don't want to do it. I don't want to have a big old fancy house and me and my wife be at each other's throat and have no peace. I like that harmony, that love, that joy, that tranquility in our home. I love it. I'd rather live in a stinking shack. I'll take the nice house with harmony any day. Amen. Amen. I ain't no fool, son. Where was I at? Verse 16, 48, 16, we're going down. Verse 18. He said, oh, that thou hast hearkened unto my commandment. Then had thy peace been as a river and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off nor destroyed from before me. Go ye forth of Babylon, flee ye from the Chaldeans, with a voice of singing declare ye. Tell this, utter it, even to the end of the earth. Say ye, watch this, the Lord have redeemed his servant Jacob. Amen. So God wants to bless you. God wants to bless us. Look at Psalm 78 real quick. I'm skipping through. I'm not expounding. I'm just going through the Bible. Would you believe I watched a football game the other day for three stinking hours and loved every minute of it? Man. Oh, Lord have mercy. We may not even get through this. Psalm 78, 17. Watch this. And they sinned yet more against, I'll stop with this right here, okay, I won't go on. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Talking about the children of Israel provoking God. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, look at what these idiots said. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can you believe that bunch of idiots said something like that? I'm telling you, it takes a low down sorry person to question God after what all God's... This is the people that God just brought through the Red Sea, ladies and gentlemen. This is the people that God has saw all the way to this point. And these idiots going to sit over and go, can God furnish a table? Boy, they better be glad that he's God. Behold, he smote the rock. Listen to what God done in spite of him. He smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also, they said? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. Isn't that something? Ain't that something? Though he had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them corn of heaven, man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full, and he caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by his power he brought in the south wind. He rained flesh upon them as dust and feathered fowls like the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp round about their habitations, so that they did eat and were well filled, and he gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouth, isn't that amazing? The wrath of God came upon them, and he slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still and believed not his wondrous works. Therefore their days did consume in vanity and their years in trouble. Are you listening? When he slew them, when they sought him, then they sought him, and they returned and required early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongues. Their mouth said good things, but their heart was far. For their heart was not right with him, neither was they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. Ladies and gentlemen, I said some pretty harsh things just a second ago on the people of Israel. I mean, if you get to thinking about this thing, listen to me and I'm done. If you get to thinking about this, here they was under the judgment of God Almighty already, sitting down there out of rebellion and disobedience, sitting down there, and they had them wicked slave masters and taskmasters, and they were just cracking the whip and making these Israelites work, and I mean work triple time. They were taking away their masonry tools and making them do masonry work by their hand. They would give them tools and then take them back away from them to make it hard. They made everything as hard as they possibly could. God moved with compassion. He saved their firstborns, and he delivered them out of the land of Egypt, and he gave them that cloud by day and that fire by night, and God provided food for them. He smote the rock and waters come out. I'm telling you, friend, God was good to them. And they sat over there and they murmured and they tempted God and they complained and they ran their mouth to the pastor. It was amazing, friend, how crazy they acted. Steve, I read it one more time and I'm done. The Holy Ghost showed it to me the second time I read it. This is what I saw. I saw a people that God delivered. He fed, he clothed, he gave them a place of worship. He blessed them with everything they could possibly desire. And what have they done? What did them people do? I'm going to tell you what they done. They went out and built golf swings. God gave us some mighty good things, ladies and gentlemen. And human beings just went out and perfected a little old golf swing so Americans could run around on golf courses on Sunday morning and say, to hell with God. I'm not going to church. I'm going to go play golf. We went over there and built some StarCraft boats, and we decided to go down to the lake on Sunday instead of honoring the Lord and keeping the Sabbath holy and coming to the house of God. We decided, hey, listen, it's easy to point fingers at the Israelites and go, man, they were crazy. God done everything for them, and yet they disdained and turned their backs on Him. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we're not much different. Let me ask you a simple question. I'm not trying to be ugly. How much Bible did you read this week? Listen, don't tell me with your mouth. Oh, it's easy. I can tell you how much I love Jesus. But when I laid up in that bed this week and God woke me up and I wasn't willing to get out and sacrifice a little bit of that old fleshly sleep just to spend a little more time with Him, God heard what my heart was saying. God heard me say, I like my flesh more than I do you, God. I'm going to lay here for another 30 minutes. God heard that. Not out of my mouth, but He heard it in here. I'm asking you a question today. It's easy to point fingers at them Israelites and say, I can't believe they turned on God like that. But I wonder how many idols we've had in our life. I wonder how many times we put things in front of Him. I wonder how much we really do love Him. Not with our mouth, but with our heart. God said, I wish you did. Because I tell you what, you're not going to outlove me. You're not going to outgive me. You're not going to outbless me. You're not going to outdo me. All I want you to do is just serve me and live for me and walk in fellowship so that I can smile on your life. Not just yours, but on your children. Isn't that a blessing? I'm going to cut that off right there. I tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. Ask yourself. Ask God to show you, Lord, where am I with you? Where's my fellowship? Hey, listen, I'm trying to be done. Listen real quick. Yesterday's gone, Jake. What you did yesterday might be the most rotten thing you've ever done, son. But that's over with. It's gone. You cannot go back. You can't undo it. Jesus can cover it in the blood. We may never see tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm going to tell you what God's interested in. God is very interested in your relationship with His Son today. Today. Not yesterday. Oh, it would have been nice if He was walking there yesterday. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day the Lord wants you to get things right. Oh, well, man, maybe tomorrow, maybe. Listen, we got some things. Listen, don't put it off. God's interested in your relationship today. He wants to bless you today. He wants to smile on you today. He wants to bless your family today. He wants to subdue your enemies today. He wants to make your life better. Isn't that a good God just to make your life? That's all we preach, man. That stuff that Zach preached this morning, it sounded pretty odd because it's coming out of a Baptist pulpit. But thank God for a man that preaches out of the Bible. You know what he preached on? A Bible salvation. You know why? Because he don't want to see people go. Sound like to me he want everybody to go to hell. Sound like to me he don't want nobody to go to hell. Sound like to me he was trying to abolish this false profession junk and get people over to the real thing and let them see what Jesus said salvation really was. See, we got this machine running today. We got this machine running. We got these fancy buildings. We got these high mortgages. We got all this stuff that we got to take care of. We got to be able to keep the status quo. We got to claim all these souls for Jesus while they're popping bubbles and riding willies. God help us. Get back to this book. The emphasis of your life ought to be in that book. Amen. Obedience. And God can smile on that. That's what God blesses, friend. God don't bless mine and your ideas. He blesses His. Father, we thank you for this day. Help us, oh God. All I'm trying to do is just help a people see the heart of God. His heart is blessing His youngins. His heart is saving sinners. And God, if we just walk in fellowship with you, we can get every blessing you've got in store. Lord, I want to be right with you. I want to walk in holiness. I want to live right. And I want to love my neighbor. I want to love, God, the unlovable. Help us, dear God, to have that within us. God, that love that's abounding. God, that love that comes through salvation. Help us, dear God. We love you. I pray that you'd bless this food we're about to eat. Bless my mama's time, dear God, today with her son. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yes. No.